Welcome to another milepost of the V-Twin Life. We talk motorcycles powered by those V-Twins, why we enjoy it, what they mean to us, and just why we enjoy the open road. V-Twin Life is brought to you by CrashInClothing.com, also known as Crash Inc. on the World Wide Web. Man, Brad is selling a lot of stuff. You want to get some merchandise, you want to get parts, you want to upgrade stuff on your bike. He is a dealer for a lot of great companies. So check out CrashInClothing.com and see what they got for you. Now, we got Wild Ass. You want to add some comfort to your ass? Man, Wild Ass has got you covered. They've got something you like. Use that promo code DWoods. Get yourself free shipping and put that ass in comfort. Can't forget Custom Dynamics, leading the world in LED lighting and LED technology. Man, these got some great stuff. You want to light up your life at nighttime? You want to be seen during the day? Hey, check out Custom Dynamics. Can't forget Lexan. These guys got some great comm units. I just got the new G16s. Man, you want to talk quality? These things are awesome. Loudspeakers, plus they got some air pumps, small ones you keep in your bike. They're ready to go. So check out Lexan. So now, let's get to another milepost of the V-Twin Life. What is going on, everybody, and welcome to milepost 126. Doing a little something different. Usually we got the guests are online and looking at them from another screen, but tonight we have Christy Smith, who is starting her own podcast, the Devilish Angel, and she is from the Northwest. We said, hey, why don't I just drive up and we do it? I'm like, sounds good. Let's just do it at the house, do something different and take me out of my comfort zone, as I've said. But no, it's been a lot of fun. We actually just recorded an episode for her podcast, and now we're going to do this one. So let's dive into these.
Yes, let's do.
Let's do it. Okay. So where'd you find motorcycles, Chris? You had to come into life.
Well, let's see. It kind of started out with my dad. He did, you know, dirt bikes and had the old Honda. And then my second dad also rode motorcycles until he had an accident. So that was a sad moment. But then when I got older, my ex-husband decided to be creative. Instead of giving me an engagement ring, he gave me a motorcycle.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. And so I fell in love with it and enjoyed riding more than I enjoyed being married. So that's all she wrote there. Kept the bike, got rid of him.
Hey, there you go. Nothing wrong with that. So, for you, at least.
Yeah, no, it was great.
So kind of, you know, what kind of adventures? What's kind of your style of what you enjoy riding?
What do I enjoy riding or where?
Well, I mean, yeah, a little of both, I guess.
A little of both.
I mean, some people enjoy, you know, the day riding. I don't know if you're, you know, the more adventurous soul. Actually, I know the answer to the question, but other people don't, you know. Kind of, okay. What's your style of enjoying riding?
The further, the better. I love riding into new places, new locations where I haven't been. I am definitely a traveler, not a vacationer. And I like riding all kinds of different bikes. I enjoy my sport bikes when I have a little, need that little quick go. But I also enjoy the comforts of a long cruiser, too. So I have two cruisers and one sport bike.
So what do you got in the garage? What are your bikes?
I have two Triumphs. One's a Speedmaster and one's a Thunderbird. And then I'm rebuilding my friend Michael's bike, which is a Ninja 636.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got a little variety.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to change it up. You know, got to have more than one pair of shoes, right?
Yeah, this is true.
Very true. It's just like I walk out there, I'm like, what do I feel like today?
Hey, if you got options, go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I have the space too. So,
which is nice.
Yeah. Exactly.
I know you also kind of enjoy, you know, using your motorcycle and whatnot for, you know, giving back to the community and have a kind of a passion a bit for that also.
I do. Yeah. I've helped out with some fundraising on different occasions. Every October. So I like kind of adding the bikes to boudoirs shoots. So in October, we do the pink bra shoot just for awareness, breast cancer awareness. So we get together and bring out the pink and we do a photo shoot like that. I've also done a photo shoot for colon cancer awareness, like we just talked about. March is colon cancer awareness. And that is what my friend Michael passed away from back in November of 22. And so you'll see some blue photo shoots, you know, with this year or this month. And yeah, anything I can do to give back and help out.
Because, yeah, now you have photography is also another hobby of yours.
Yes. Yeah. you know, my friend Michael, he actually is the one that got me into that, you know, more of the how to do editing and shoot, you know, lighting and everything. And so, yeah, I do a lot of photography and trying to bring people out of their comfort zone, as you should, you know, like I'm bringing you out of your comfort zone, just having this, having me present instead of, you know, on the phone.
Yeah, it's a little, it is, you know, it's different, but it's fun. You know, you get to do something different. I mean, we both, you're, you know, getting into the same thing and doing podcasts and a lot of, you know, been doing mine for a little while, but usually it's, you know, I'm having the conversation staring at the computer screen with the other person. So when you have the actual interaction where, you know, they're sitting next to you, it's a little different, but it's a lot of fun. I know we, like I said earlier, we just recorded an episode for your podcast. You want to go and let people know about yours also.
Yeah. So Devilish Angel, that's Angel with two E's, like the horns, Productions. And I've just started. I think that this is going to be episode 7 for me. So we'll get that out tomorrow. Actually, I'll go home and edit all that and have it posted for us. So yeah. And then it'll also be on YouTube, the YouTube. How old am I? You know, so yeah, I like to just kind of put it all together.
Which is fun. And you can take a nice thing like with, you know, being into photography and also with the podcasting, you can really, in a way, combine, of course, you know, when you're doing, you know, YouTube for your thumbnails and of course, you know, the pictures of when you're promoting your podcast and when, you know, you're getting that background of photography, it could really help go hand in hand with each other for promoting both ways.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's why I went with Productions instead of just Devilish Angel. Because I am doing photography. We are doing the podcast. We are doing the YouTube. We're all, you know, there's all the platforms and everything. So, and I also, I do the pictures for other people too. So it's not just me modeling, it's everybody else. So I'm trying to get, you know, more people involved with that. And, you know, if they want to do their podcast, I've got the equipment, I've got the studio, you know, and I just want to encourage people.
Yeah, we're using a bunch of your equipment today. You brought the whole thing up. We got, you know, using your microphones, you got the Rodecaster. So we got a couple different cameras set up. You're recording on yours. We're still, you know, doing mine and kind of a joint operation. And no, it's been really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I even took a picture of the setup, you know, as the production. So it is, you know, we have to, there's so much, you know, and then we got to go back and edit everything, right? The videos, the audio, everything. Yeah. And that's the learning part, you know, from a Gen X perspective is all of the technology of learning how to edit and getting into all those programs. And, you know, it's just a huge learning curve.
So what made you want to dive into the podcast realm of stuff?
I kind of stumbled into it actually. You know, I wanted to eventually, you know, I've watched you and my friend Jenny, you know, since 2020, and I've seen you grow, and I've seen so many people in the last year, you know, few years, just how they've grown with their hobby and, interaction and networking. And I'm like, hey, I do that anyways, when I go out and about, you know, when I go to an event, you know, I'm always talking to new people, you know, so.
Yeah, I got Davey Sprock coming. The Triumph Thunderbird is an awesome bike.
Does he have one? Because I have only had this one for a year, which is an interesting story, actually. So the gentleman that had this, he saw my Speedmaster in the parking lot, and he rode up and said, hey, whose bike is that? And I said, well, that's mine. And so we got talking about Triumphs, and he's like, well, I've got the Thunderbird. So the last 5 years, I've been watching this older gentleman riding this Thunderbird. And he said, if I ever decide to give this up or where I can't ride anymore, I'm coming to you. And I said, great. So he did. He came to me and said, hey, I can't ride anymore. You know, are you interested still? And we had just bought the Harley for Tony. Like signed the paperwork the day before. And I said, let me see if I can offload my Yamaha FZ09. If I can sell it, then I'll come get the Thunderbird. And didn't sell it for a while. And somebody else bought the Thunderbird, right? And so December comes around and I found out who had bought the Thunderbird from him. And I went up to that guy and I said, hey, you still got that Thunderbird? And he goes, yeah, it's just sitting in my barn. He goes, I don't ride motorcycles. He's like, I was just taking it thinking I could, you know, flip it and make some money off of it. He goes, it's just sitting in my barn. I said, okay, I'm going to go get your cash. Yeah, well. Yeah. So the bike I've been looking at for 5 years, I got to ride. So I really enjoy it. It's a little different than my Triumph or than my Speedmaster because it's twice the size in all aspects. Yeah. So it's a learning curve, but no, it did really well all the way to Moab.
What year is it?
2010.
Hey, how many miles are on it?
When I got it, 16,000. So it had 16,000. Yeah. So my Speedmaster has 50, and so this one has 20 on it now. I think. I know I put more than that on it last summer, in the last year, because I've had it a year. So.
Well, and when you have more than one to ride, obviously you're gonna share the mileage amongst them.
Well, the reason that I got the Thunderbird was because I was retiring my Speedmaster. So if anybody knows me, they already know the story. So Triumph came out with the cruiser style in 2003. It was their first attempt of a cruiser market into the U.S. And so they only sent about 100 bikes to the U.S. to test out the market. Mm-hmm. And mine's an 04. And then after 04, in 05, they changed everything. They said, okay, this is how well it's doing. This is what's working, what's not. And then they changed it. So I have one of the very few Speedmasters that came into the U.S. So I wanted to retire it. And it has, like I said, has 50,000 miles on it. So I was like, yeah, I need another bike because everything I have on it is original. It's all stock. Well, the pipes aren't, but I have the stock pipes. So I just got to put them back on. So, yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, I need another bike. So I got the Thunderbird. So I'm pretty stoked.
Nice. So why do you enjoy? Oh, shoot. Got to watch out for things as I hit everything.
That's new to you, though. You're not used to that.
I know. Why do you enjoy traveling so much by bike? What is it for you?
Well, obviously for me, it's the openness, the smells, the visual, it's getting away, it's checking out. I'm one of those people that doesn't like all the technology. I don't want comms in my ear. I don't want all of the fancy buttons in the front. I just want the basics. I just want the wind. I just want, you know, the freedom. You know, I don't want all that stuff that, you know, messes up with you. I don't put my camera, my phone on the handlebars. It's in my pocket. I don't want people to talk to me. It's like, if somebody calls me, I'm on the bike. Bye.
So yeah,
check out. I totally check out. It's definitely therapy for me.
Yeah. That's kind of, I was going to use the word. Yeah. Basically you get on and unplug from everything.
Absolutely. It's my timeout, my adult timeout.
What's one of your favorite trips you've taken?
Well, before this last summer, it was Hell's Canyon. I used to love just going over to Hell's Canyon and riding all the rides, all the different routes and stuff they have over there. There's like 10, 12 routes or whatever. And that was always my yearly. This past summer, I ended up in Moab, Utah. I was on a reset mission. And I knew that I was going to Hell's Canyon to do something. And then I went to Bonneville Salt Flats because that was my next destination. And after that, I had no idea where I was going. I just was like, okay, so let's see, what's tomorrow going to look like? How far do I want to ride? How hot is it going to be? And I ended up in Moab. And I think Utah is beautiful and pictures don't do it justice.
It is beautiful. I haven't ridden through it on a bike. That's my plan soon. But I did drive through it here a couple of weeks ago and it is gorgeous. Going down through Moab was just the rock cliffs and just the scenery. It's like you said, you can see pictures. I mean, I have, you know, friends that are photographers that live down in that area that I've got to know, and you can see so many amazing pictures, but when you can see it with your own eyes, it's like, it's a whole next level.
I felt so small compared to those rock formations. I felt just so, yeah. And how they changed every so few miles, like they just different formations.
And then I know it's right around Moab. You're going down the highway. There's actually one of them. There's a hole through the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big sign. It's a hole in the rock. I'm like, what? And yeah. You're down. It's like, how the hell did that get made?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just unreal. Absolutely. Cause I rode through Salt Lake, and went and stopped at the Leda's headquarters. Cause that's where it originates. And, so I went through Salt Lake and, yeah, it was, it just was a really great ride. I would definitely do it again. I recommend it. Anybody can fly into Moab and just spend. Yeah, that's great.
It is beautiful. Like I talked with Hales County, I love the Lewiston, going from Lewiston, Idaho down to La Grande.
Yes.
Oh, that's just, that is an amazing run.
Yeah. Yeah. All of the, so, yeah, in Hales Canyon, well, the whole Hales Canyon rally, they give you a booklet that has like just pages of different routes that you can do. And so that's been kind of a tradition to go over there and just do those during the rally and not during the rally. I don't like crowds.
Have you done, I know it's a very short ride, the old Spiral Highway in Lewiston?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We did it during sunset. It was amazing.
Yeah, we did. Well, it was the middle afternoon. And then up through, we headed up Lolo.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, then went from Missoula to Flathead during sunset.
Okay. I haven't ridden through Missoula yet. I've driven through there, but that's coming up. We're going to the Rocky Mountain Roll camp out in August this year.
Have you done Lolo Pass?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one's fun. I want to do Beartooth one of these summers.
Where's Beartooth? I've heard.
Beartooth is in Red Lodge, Montana. It's the highest mountain pass.
Oh.
I think it's 10,900 feet.
Okay. So I need to put that on my list.
They say it's one of those, even in June, it can be 100 degrees in Red Lodge and it could be snowing at the top. You never know. But they say you just dress and weather yourself accordingly, but it is an amazing, I mean, there's a lot of YouTube videos and check it out, but yeah, it's really cool.
So do the typical Washington layer up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, I think, you know, when it comes to even riding around here, one of my favorite ones is go down to Packwood, and just once you're going up White's Pass, as I like to hang a left on Cayuse.
Yeah.
And then go up the backside of Chinook.
Yeah. So that for me, that's a day ride.
Yeah.
We just go up and come back around. Yeah. Where I live in the Olympia area, because, you know, I can come up here and do the 101 loop, mm-hmm. or we can go down and do the coast, or we can do the passes, you know, cause I like going up 14. I like going up Highway 14 and then coming back up through Yakima and all of that. So yeah.
14 is cool. And plus you got the great, you know, the Maryhill, you got Stonehenge Memorial, mm-hmm. which is a really cool place.
Yeah.
We got some really cool pictures of the sun setting between the pillars when we were there last summer.
I have ones of the sunrise.
Never. Oh, that'd be freaking cool.
Because right below Stonehenge is Peach Beach Campground. So if you haven't stayed there, you should. It's really cool. And then you just walk up or ride up.
We stay closer. We just did a city park in the parking lot one time.
Oh, yeah, we do that too.
It works. A couple hours power nap and keep going.
Love power naps. We call them toddler naps, just FYI.
Toddler naps. Understandable.
Yeah,
it is fun, and that's the fun thing, like over here, which is another reason why doing ones like this, it's so much fun to do a milepost, you know, an episode, and have somebody from the Northwest when you can talk and understand the roads, especially when we have so many options of Cascade loops.
Absolutely.
It's like, do you want to go big, you want to go small, you want to go medium?
Yeah, well, you can do three of them too. We do a three pass blast. So you can do all three. You can do three in a day.
I did 9 in a day.
Okay, overachiever, one up me. I didn't believe that this was a one up show.
that was a crazy long ride, but it was cool. We started North Cascades and then Stevens, Snoqualmie, Blewett, right. Chinook, Cayuse, Weiss Pass. We kept going down. We went all the way to Mount Hood.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, Mount Hood was the next day. At that point, we had our 1,000 miles mm-hmm. for day one.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, except for the 47 miles of fresh chip and seal on the North Cascades Highway.
We always have chip and seal during the summer months. That and
horrible.
And the graded, all of the graded roads, the chip seal, like, you know, for new riders, you just got to do it. Grit and bear it. Just pucker up and go.
Yeah. But I think, you know, North Cascades is, it's like that hidden gem. Even for last year for Harley, it was one of the 50 rides of 50 states. That was Washington's ride. It was North Cascades Highway. And mm-hmm. in the summertime, it is beautiful. Stevens Pass can be great, especially, you know, if it's so big with tourism now. You got Leavenworth, which is such a cool place to visit.
Or Winthrop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The western town.
Yeah.
Winthrop is cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's definitely a lot of rides. We were just talking here a little bit ago about Oregon, going down the southeast corners and mm-hmm. go down to Fields and Burns.
I haven't done a lot of the southeast. I've done northern well, I'd say Central Oregon North, a good amount of through that area, but I haven't done the southern part. I mean, passing through, of course, like, you know, down I-5 I have, but I haven't explored much of that area.
I highly recommend it.
I did a piece of it, 2000, 2001. We did the Lawman 1000. And I remember we went south of Pendleton down 395 for a ways until we turned. And I can't remember where we turned, but that ride was beautiful. Down along the river and just twisties. And it was great.
Yeah, we cut through from Hell's Canyon to Pendleton the back way. And it's very much like the Lewiston where you're coming down into it. Great roads. Can't remember the name of it, but if you go in from Scotty's fuel station out of Hell's Canyon to Pendleton, you can map it. It's pretty cool.
I think we did that when we did my Monster 100. Actually, has me and Frank Orlando and Steve Weber. Mm-hmm. We did our crazy loop. We went here down to where the heck we go? Packwood. We did, White's Pass to Cayuse Chinook, then out through Mattawa to Ritzville to Lewiston, the old highway, and then ran down to LeGrand and then back to the Columbia and then back here for a 1,000-mile day.
Yeah.
That's so, when I lost one of my brand new motorcycle gloves.
I lost one of my gloves in Zion National Park. I took it off so I could video. I could use my cell phone to video while I was riding.
I took mine off so I could hit my Google Maps when I was coming, getting close to Portland because I didn't want to take I-5. I prefer to go 205.
And right.
Went to turn it on. I stuck the glove between my pants down in my seat, got my Google Maps and grabbed it and had, cruise control set because it's a great thing. Had this hand up, went to put my glove on and the wind caught the glove and gone.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, fuck, it's brand new. It's gone now.
Yep.
And what sucks is I only had my lightweight ones in my tour pack. So I ended up stopping and it was Highway 12 and I-5 junction. Stopped the gas station, went in, bought some little cotton gloves that fit inside my Joe Rocca gloves. Like, hey, my hands are warm now.
Yeah.
Because I absolutely hate cold hands when I'm riding.
Well, see, and for me, when I left it at Zion, I had to buy a new pair in Salt Lake because I was getting sunburned because it was so hot, because it was in July. And I was like, oh, I'm burning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do a lot of the half finger gloves when it's summertime and warm, but then once the sun goes down, then I usually go to the full finger because I get cold hands. I just hate it. And I haven't pulled the plug on heated gear or, gone that route yet. A lot of people, why not just do it? I'm like,
so here's a,
I just don't want to yet.
So here's the thing. I was, I went to California, for a Polaris and Alita's event and we were talking about heated gear and they're like, what's this heated gear you're talking about? cause they're all from California and they're like, you plug it in? Is it battery operated? What do you, like, and why do you need it? And I said, have you seen our weather? So up here, so the Gerbings are the ones that actually patented it, and they were out of Union, Washington. Jeff Gerbing now lives in Montana, and I will send this link to him so he can.
My dad took a pair of gloves and he sewed in liners and whatnot for heated gloves when he had some made.
So heated gloves. So yeah, now they're, you can battery operate them and stuff, but I had a pair of heated gloves and I didn't like them. I didn't like the wire, being plugged in and attached to the bike or to, I just felt too restrained and the gloves just felt too bulky for me. And so I actually passed them on to someone else. But I do have a heated vest, but it's battery operated and I just push the button and I put that underneath my jacket.
I've been considering doing that just for, heating your torso and whatnot. But like Frank Orlando, my good buddy, he's got the heated gear. He's out of Yakima, but he recently got heated insoles.
Yeah.
He said those are an absolute game changer.
Well, they also say just heated grips. Mm-hmm. Like, don't even forget about the gloves. Just get the grips. As long as your hands are warm, your hands and your torso, you're golden. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely go to Zion. I see that, Amy.
Yeah. I want to see Zion. I want to do Zion. I want to go to Arches. So, and what is it? Canyon Reef or Canyon
Bryce Lands? Bryce Canyon. Bryce Canyon. Yeah. So I did Zion and Bryce Canyon all in one day. And I can tell you more about tips and tricks sort of when you get there. And But yeah, it's that whole area was great. You know, I would definitely go again.
So, okay, here's one. So you've obviously ridden in California.
Multiple times, yep.
Lane splitting.
What about it?
What's your take on it?
I think with everything, there's a pros and cons list to it. Mm-hmm. Well, we went down there for Babes Ride Out. And I was with two other ladies, and we had talked about it ahead of time before we got there or got into California. And we're like, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to just, you know, hang out. Well, it got to the point where we were running behind schedule and to the event, and they were going to lock the gates at 10 o'clock. We were hit traffic, and it got to the point where we kind of looked at each other, and California Highway Patrolman on a bike went by, and the lead, and I looked at her, and she's like, I go, go. And so we did. And, you know, for some people who aren't used to it, it can be a little nerve wracking, mm-hmm. You know, you're not, because you're not educated and trained in it. It's just something that we were just following the leader type thing. There were cars that didn't want to let us over. There was, you know, I know there was a truck that was the mirror got pushed in at once. But you know, if down there, it's a whole different ballgame. You know, if you have, you know, if you are air cooled or whatever, sometimes you just got to do it. You got to bite the bullet and do it. But you know, definitely educate yourself before you do it instead of just jumping into it. I think again, there's pros and cons to it, you know? Yeah. So,
and I got introduced to it when I went down there in September, and I was always a person that I was against. I'm like, no, it's just, it's not for me. No. I don't think it's smart. And then you get down there and we, you know, get down to LA, and I don't think it matters what time of day you go through LA. It sucks. And the car in front of me kept moving off to the shoulder. I'm looking at my mirror. It's like, fuck, is there a cop coming? You know, mercy
vehicle. He's moving over for you.
My buddy looks at me, goes, hey, you want to sit here? We're going to do it. I'm like, all right. And you know, we're going, I mean, we were doing 15 to 20 just because, you know, we're on baggers.
Right. And that's the other part.
Comfortable with it. And yeah, you see other people are flying doing 50 plus. I'm like, no, but I got whole new respect from, like, this is genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, got comfortable with it. And it did. It's like, either we can sit in traffic for about 3 hours or we can get to our destination in about 45 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, traffic gets going. Cool. You fall back in line, being gridlock. Right. See it. We're going to do some lane splitting, and
there's a time and a place for it.
Yeah. And then, you know, coming back, we got up to Portland and it's like, this sucks. Can we just hit this? You know, let's just go.
Right.
And it's like, California's smart.
Yeah.
But I think you're right though. When down there, obviously it's been a law for a long time. I don't know, 'cause I didn't look that part up, but
yeah,
the people down there are accustomed to it, which makes a whole difference in
safety. Awareness, because they're aware of it. You know, and so I know. So actually, it's funny that you said don't try it in Washington. No, well,
we were on the motorcycle lane.
But here's a different perspective from my understanding, and I could be wrong. I know. So like Brian Lang, he's part of the Abate group and has been for years. And I know that at one point they had approved for us to ride in the far left, you know, beyond the fast lane, but that's where all of the debris is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not a safe place for us to be. No. You know, but that was what they optioned or what they chose for us to do. And I think that, you know, but a lot of people are still doing it. I mean, I see a lot of people that are coming up here from the military bases and stuff, and are still doing it. And what is the fine? $300-$400, and you're like, you know what? A brand new engine is going to cost me a hell of a lot more money than that if I sit here and I overheat.
Yeah, well, the stater I talked to didn't care all about them. He talked about getting numerous calls. And me and my buddy's been doing this. And looked up and said, me and my wife have been out of state for 2 weeks. So I don't know what you're talking about me and my buddies riding on the shoulder.
Right.
Which was up here. The traffic was backed up. It was about a 5-6 mile backup. It's like, I'm going to hit the shoulder and do like 15 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And some car tried to cut me off, and then when I crest the hill right where the thing is, and there's a stater sitting on the wrong side of the highway looking right at me,
right,
like pulling traffic, and he comes up there and gives me a stern lecture, and the young kid was a prick.
But, well, you know,
I mean, I was in the wrong, but he was one extremely rude individual. Whatever.
I think, again, a time and a place. Pick mm-hmm. your battles. And if you got to do it, do it. But be safe and be aware. And, yeah. You know, yeah, like I said, I'm on the fence about it, you know?
Yeah.
I'm, it just depends on the situation.
Yep.
So there's that.
Yeah.
There's my 2 cents worth.
Well, and you know, it just popped in my mind. It's like, well, shoot, you've ridden down there. We're both up here. And
yeah.
So it's fun to, you know, pick somebody else's brain when you get the option to do something we don't have the option to do up here.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's, there's a lot, you know, when you go to different states, you know, you don't know all the rules and the laws, and sometimes you just got to wing it.
Yep. As Riot calls it, that's the motorcycle lane on the shoulder.
Yep. So, what else you got for me?
I got stuff. I'm working on it. Oh. So, when it comes to locally riding, what's one of your favorite little areas that just, that calls you, whether, you know, you just go to, or a place that just, whether it's a 10-mile ride to relax or just a 100-mile loop?
Oh, that's a good question, because I'm in Olympia area and we have so many options of just at the, you know, end of the day, I can go to the beach, I can go to the mountains, I can go wherever. I would say I liked going out to Wainuchi Dam. That's one of my favorites. Another one is I just go over, like you were talking about, you know, 410, mm-hmm. you know, go over to Chinook and then cut over and come back up the White Pass. I like going out to the beach. Just,
have you, know. You done the old nuclear cooling towers down at SASUP?
Yeah. I was going to say, if you see any of my social media, I go out there a lot. I used to go out there a lot for pictures. I mean, it's a great photography location. And I just did a couple years ago, I did the Warrior Angel Challenge scavenger hunt. And that was one of their locations. And so I stood on my bike and then I put my number like I was dropping it into the top of the tower. So
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I tried to get creative with their locations and their numbers and stuff. And that was one of the things I did. But yeah, we go up there quite a bit. You can go up to the Brooklyn Tavern, which is only open on occasion. And sometimes they just open if they hear motorcycles go by and they go, oh.
Where's that at?
It's one of the oldest taverns in the state. It is in Brooklyn, Washington. So it's out by Montesano, between Montesano and Raymond.
Okay.
And you just take a, go up the road and
never heard of that one. Never heard of Brooklyn, Washington.
Oh, yeah. It's a little tiny town. You'll miss it. It's an old little logging town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the peninsula. I mean, that's so many of them out here. That was their bread and butter.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. If you're from here, right? Mm-hmm. So where did the name Denver come from?
I don't know.
Really? You don't know?
Not really. I don't know.
Was it John Denver? I mean,
I've wondered like, and I've really
like never you live in Washington, but your name's Denver. I was like, I got to ask him.
Okay. Are you ready for the monkey wrench?
Yeah.
Middle name's Orlando.
It's what?
Orlando.
Orlando. Did your family like geography or something?
That one I know. That was my grandfather's middle name, so I got that one. But yeah, I'm just, you know, geographically, if you take my initials, I'm the stock market.
Nice. Oh, that's great.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you're talking about the Brooklyn Tavern, one of the oldest. Mm-hmm. The, you know where the oldest tavern in Washington is?
Winthrop.
No.
It's not Winthrop?
No. Roslyn.
Oh, it is. Is it?
The Brick is the oldest one in Washington.
Oh. Okay.
The one in Leavenworth is the oldest saloon.
Oh, see.
You mean, there was some legal deal with
the
Finger Jack Saloon.
That's Winthrop.
Yeah.
So Winthrop, yeah. Okay.
Is the oldest saloon.
That's right.
And then the Brick in Roslyn is the oldest tavern in the state.
Interesting.
You ever been to the Brick? No. It is really cool. You can sit up at the bar. You actually have a trough of water that's flowing by, like it would have been for the old spittoons.
Is that what they tell you? Is it a spittoon?
Well, a lot of people, it's where you spit your tobacco. Well, or you can just wet your whistle.
Well, or you just don't go to the outhouse.
Yeah.
So the Brooklyn has that as well.
Yep.
So apparently they were too tired of working in the woods to go do their business.
Oh, yeah, I have enough drink, you just don't want to get off the stool.
That's right. I'm tired. So, yeah.
But the Brick does have some amazing food. It's a cool place. It'd be a good place to go to check out this summer.
Okay. I will put that on my list.
And then if you like beef jerky and pepperoni and all that good stuff, then you go down to Clay Island and stop at Owen's Meats. Mm-hmm. The most amazing pepperoni and sausage.
Yeah.
They have some amazing. Their grandpa's old style sausage.
I still wanted to say something dirty right there.
Me too. Then I thought to myself after I said that, I was like, oh, that's doesn't sound right.
He opened up the door and I was going to kick through it, but okay.
Yeah. That's a quick recovery. So let's leave that.
Yeah, we're gonna move on. What's the next level?
We're gonna leave the sausage party and go somewhere else.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's getting hot in here. and it's not a hot flash.
I know I did put some wood in the fire beforehand, but, you know.
Okay, stop with stop.
Oh, so what's your plans for this summer?
This summer, I've got a trip out to West Virginia for the Steel Cowgirl meet and greet. I was going to ride, but looking at the mileage and how much time I could take off, I decided that flying out and renting a bike when I get there and doing the festivities that way is probably the best route.
Gives you more time.
It does. It does. Because, you know, if I rode from here to there, I'd be doing mainly freeway. And that's just not the way I want to go. And so I'm like, you know, I'm just going to do that whole ride share, rent a bike when I get there. And I'm pretty excited about that. Just riding out in West Virginia. It's going to be awesome.
That's a buddy of mine, Harley Fatboy Jr., who's on YouTube, became a great friend. When he went to Sturgis last year, his bike ended up breaking down the day he left. He only made it like 50 miles out of Portland, and he ended up flying up there, and it was some like, oh, it's like a Facebook group to rent a motorcycle. He went up there and ended up renting a Honda Shadow. I think it was a Yamaha something, but it was dirt cheap. People literally rent out their personal bikes, and he found some deals, and man, it was a great deal. It cost him a couple hundred bucks to, I think you said like $250-ish or something for 4 days to rent the motorcycle.
Yeah, that's what's going to cost me, about $200 for about 4 days. So when one of the Lita girls that I spoke to, she does it. She actually went and bought a couple of bikes just for this. And she said that she only had one incident where there was some damage, and the company and everybody worked. It was fine. You know, she goes, that was the only incident, and it was just a blooper and no harm, no foul. And she makes great side money doing it. You know, so, you know, it's definitely something to look into. If anybody's looking for a side hustle, is mm-hmm. just go get some bikes and put them on there. Especially if you're, and I know a bunch of the girls that come out for the Dream Roll in August, they fly up or fly in to Seattle and they do the same thing. They rent bikes, and especially when, you know, you're just tight for time or whatever. And, it's a great option.
It is. I mean, you get some of these, you know, destination places, like, you know, us, we're on one side of the country, got an event over there, but you can only take,
you know, so much time off. Yeah.
Your weekend and 5 days during the week and the next weekend. Well, it's like, if I'm riding out there, that's going to be 3 days here, three there. Well, that only leaves me a couple days, and fly out, rent it, and enjoy 5 days in the area and come back, still have, you know, unwind a little bit, and then back to the 9-to-5 grind.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm pretty excited about that. You know, I've been following Regina of Steel Cowgirl for apparel for years since, you know, she started it. And this is the meet and greet that I'm actually going to be able to attend. Pretty excited.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Is that going to be your one big one for this year?
Probably not. So in the summer, I try to take like a 3 or 4 day weekend every month. So I know that in May we're going to go ride down to, Burns, Oregon, and stay at the Crane Hot Springs. So the weekend after Mother's Day, we're going to head down there, me and a couple of the girls, from the Lita's group of Olympia. And then, I know that we're going to Montana, you know, to the Rocky Mountain Roll, in August. I'm doing the Steel Cowgirl in July. Boy, I got to get one for June, don't I?
Yeah.
And I know, and you know, so yeah, no, yeah, try to get as much as rutch riding in as we can during, you know, from May to the end of October. It's kind of our ride season, you know?
Yeah. Then after that, it's just hit and miss here and there when you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I know I've got International Female Ride Day at the beginning of May. I got stuff going on in June. So yeah, like every month for sure.
You're busy.
I love to ride. I like to stay. I do like to stay busy. Hence why I'm starting a podcast. No.
Well, that's like, you know, with that, you can even, you know, you meet somebody side of the road. It's not too hard that you can record an episode just with your phone.
Well, yeah. And like I told you, you know, on the, when we were talking, that my ideal plan or would be great to do is I would love to do the podcast, a road tour, you know, and hit like all of the bike events. And then just pull some really cool people out of the crowd that just want to be on the podcast, you know, just here and there. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
You know, short stories, you get one, you know, 10, 15 minute interviews.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they, when you dive into the algorithm stuff and get too far, it's like, okay, they recommend people actually only really will listen for, you know, keep their attention for
a short period of time,
20 minutes. So it's like, cool. Do some short stories basically, and it might really get things going.
Well, that's kind of how I've been doing my podcast. My podcasts are, I try to keep them about 30 minutes. You know, just enough to say, oh, you know, okay, that was really cool. What's going to come next? Mm-hmm. You know, cause I'm busy and I know my drive to work is 30 minutes or actually it's a little less, but I'm like, okay, boom, done. You know, and my attention span is, you know, I squirrel constantly. So
yeah.
You know, I gotta get to those people that relate to me.
And yeah, you know, you go that long where keeping somebody's attention span, and no, it's a smart idea.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, if you really want to get technical, then you go down that rabbit hole of staring and reading too much of analytics and this, that, and then how much read time, how much list, like, holy crap, I'm done with this.
Yeah. I love when your phone pops up and says screen time, you know, and it tells you all the things. I'm like, wow, I was on that for how long? What was I doing?
You're up 24% from last week.
Right.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. But no, this has been fun. Kind of doing something a little different, but it's been really cool.
Yeah. What have you enjoyed?
It's a different aspect of, you know, instead of watching the person, you actually get the interaction, and it's just, I don't know, it's fun.
Yeah, I agree. You know, especially since we're so close, you know, and like I said, there's not a lot of motorcycle podcasters in our area.
No.
You know, I know there's a lot out in the Midwest and the South and all of that, you know, where the weather's nicer, you know, and they have a longer ride season.
And it's a lot more fun. I enjoy it when you get an episode from somebody, like, you know, we're both from the Pacific Northwest, so you can talk about places riding and when you know the area also, and you can relate to it, understand. I don't know. It makes it a lot more fun. Just, it's more personal, I guess, the best way.
Yeah. Cause you can picture those locations, like, oh yeah, I was there, like Diablo Lake and, you know, all of, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, we're talking Lake Trillium. It's like, we've been to Mount Hood. Oh, right. Past Government, you'll hear. And when you know the area, it's like, oh, cool, you've been there. Well, if you go up a little farther, hang a left, this is a cool place. And it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely sharing little locations and stuff, you know, like, have you, and, you know, so, yeah. So let's see, what do we have, any questions out here?
No, I think we've been pretty much covering them. I think some people are thrown off because I'm an hour earlier than normal, but that's all right.
So we have to keep talking until your normal 5 o'clock.
Let's see what else I got real quick. I know we've covered some of them.
Yeah.
See, we did the best area.
Yep.
Your go-to route. What's your dream ride?
Oh, my dream ride is literally to do the whole U.S. I want to be able to take some time off and literally just ride all of the states, you know. I feel like since I'm over here on the West Coast, that I can only hit, you know, so much. Like, I've got, a week. How much can I cram in and do? I just want to ride all over, you know, but I also would like to ride in some different countries as well. So yeah. What about you?
I mean, there's always the people, you know, have their bucket list. I want to write England. I want to write Scotland. But, you know, after doing this and meeting all the people that I've been able to have on, mm-hmm. I don't think people understand some of the areas and some of the riding we have on our own borders, because everybody's riding interstates. You're not seeing America. I think, you know, if you travel some of these back places, get off the main path, mm-hmm. and you can really find some amazing places. You can find those mom and pop places, but you can find some amazing destinations that you have no idea are there just because of how society is now. Everybody wants to go A to B as quick as they can, but
yeah,
you're not going to see what built the country.
I agree. I want to do Route 66. There's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. I just want to go be on the bike for the rest of my life. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Who's going to fund that? how do I make money doing that? Help me. Anybody?
Throw $5 and keep dreaming every week of lotto.
Okay.
I never win, but then I don't ever buy a ticket. So right. That's the other aspect.
Yeah, exactly.
See, here's, so what, the best ride that you've ever had that really stands out the most, that you really enjoyed?
I'd have to say Utah now. You know, I really have to say that Utah was probably the best ride that I would want to do again. I think it's because I had no time frame. I took my time. I think the only time I was rushed is because all the national parks are going to reservations now. And I had a reservation at the Arches and I had to get there. And it was 100-some degrees and I couldn't stop and look at everything that I wanted to go look at because I had to make that reservation. So that was the downfall of that trip. But yeah.
I think sometimes that's the downfall of reservations, where it can really put you in a bind, because basically you can get yourself too rushed because you got to be somewhere at a specific time but then there's a flip side. Hey, I know I'm going to have a place to stay or whatnot, but I think it's a crapshoot. It's a 50-50.
Yeah. And in fact, I am one of those people who doesn't do reservations for lodging. I learned the hard way when I had to eat a reservation because I didn't make the location. So I can make a reservation within a few hours or the night before. You know, I'll get on Airbnb, or I will look at a camp spot. You know, I always take my sleeping bag and an air mattress just in case if I'm just going to, you know, wherever. But I don't like to plan too far ahead when I'm out on the road, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know,
or 2 hours beforehand and say, cool, I think I'm going to, you know, after the next fuel stop, find something. So you pull over, get online and say, I found a place, you know, make a few phone calls, find something cool. This will work. And
yeah, because when I went to Utah, well, first of all, I didn't plan on going to Utah. It just kind of happened that way. I knew I was going to going to Bonneville Salt Flats. That was as far as I knew I was going. And then I had all this time. But it was also the heat. And it was, 95 to 103. And I was like, I don't want to camp, but I brought my camp, you know, my stuff just in case. You know, but I was like, I need air conditioning, and I was ending my day at around 3 o'clock. You know, so I was leaving. I was on the road between 6 and 7 in the morning, and I was done, you know, between 3 and 4 in the afternoon. I'm like, I'm melting. You know, and yes, the comforts. I'm old too. Okay, no lie. So that was one of the things that came up when we were traveling with somebody. You know, nowadays. You know, we're in our 50s. I don't know about you, but I'm in my 50s.
Close.
And it's one of those, I want a hot tub. I want a hot shower. I want the comfy bed. You know, like, I can camp. I got my gear. I'm, you know, but if I have to, I've got the money and the means. I want a hotel and Airbnb or something, you know, like.
Comforts.
My body, my body is definitely feeling the age, you know, after a few surgeries and everything. Like, you know, you 20-somethings, 30-somethings, you go have fun in your hammocks. You go have fun in your in your little whatever. But my ass is going to go sit in the hotel in the hot tub.
Yeah.
You know? But those young girls are also on Sportsters and everything else, too. We're, you know, I had to up my game and get a bigger cruiser.
comforts.
And a windshield. You know, I finally got a windshield. I haven't had a windshield for years. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm getting my neck's starting to get pinches and stuff.
It makes
like,
a difference.
It does. So, but yeah. Yeah, I haven't been in Colorado. I need to get down into Colorado still.
Yeah, our oldest moved down this week, and then she sweet talked Seth into driving one of their cars down. He loved Utah. Going through Utah was his favorite part.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely a to go. Definitely got to make it there. So
what's your worst experience on two wheels, and why?
My worst experience was when the yearling deer hopped off the hill and TV boned me at 9 o'clock at night doing 65. Ooh. I kept the bike up. How about that?
That's a bonus.
Yes, it pushed me over into the other lane and the whole nine yards. But yeah, I saw it. I was going down a two lane and I saw at the corner of my, it came off the hill and I was like, no. It was definitely probably the worst and scariest thing I had to experience. And, you know, the bike, you know, started to go down and I was like, nope, that's going to hurt. And I pulled it out and, it went down so far that it pushed the kickstand up between the frame and the exhaust. So when I did get the bike over to the side of the road, cause it cut out and everything. And I stood there until the sheriff showed up, until he could take it with both hands and pull it out of from being wedged up there. And so I was on my bike with adrenaline running for a good 10, 15 minutes. And then the EMS shows up and says, and hugs me twice. They hugged me twice. First, when they first got there, they hugged me and they go, usually when we get a call with a motorcycle hitting a deer, we're scooping somebody up and going. They're like, you're standing here. And I go, yeah, I'm very bruised, but yes, I'm standing here.
Yeah. And my heart is beating inside my head.
Oh, it was awful. Cause you know, and then the state patrol shows up and he's like, okay, I need your insurance. Cause in Oregon, you have to have insurance. Yeah, I don't know about Washington now. Is Washington now you still have at the time, Washington, you didn't have to have motorcycle insurance. But so I hadn't my insurance. But he's like asking me all these things in my brain. I'm just like, I'm trying to call. I'm trying to get all the information going. I don't know where anything is. I don't know. So yeah. It was, you know, that was my scariest.
That Springer Mike's, have you ever been to Wyoming?
I've driven through there, but I have not ridden through Wyoming yet.
That is, I could say like, Utah going through there, riding through the Grand Tetons.
You know, that was on the list.
Freaking amazing.
Yeah. I was supposed to, a few years ago, I was supposed to go through Wyoming and into Colorado. And that's when I got COVID. So, my group and my girlfriends, they went, I missed that trip, unfortunately, but yeah.
The Tetons were amazing.
I've heard that.
Sorry, Mike. I don't mean to bash Wyoming, but everything else about it is so boring. There's nothing. There's little oil derricks.
Yeah, like North Dakota.
And there's a lot of antelope. And that's about all.
Yeah.
But the Grand Tetons, those were absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like I said, with Utah, you see it in pictures. It's great. You see it with your own eyes, like, holy crap. And that's how going through the Grand Tetons were. Just awesome. And then, you know, we ran to a massive herd of buffalo just south of Jackson Hole, and it was cool.
Well, you know what? It's just like Crater Lake. If you go down there and the color of the lake is phenomenal. You think that the pictures are edited? No, that is truly the blue. It is just, it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Devil's Tower.
Where's Devil's Tower? Remind me.
South Dakota. Actually, I think it's...
No, I haven't.
It's in Wyoming.
Yeah, I haven't. So, I'm trying.
I actually got my shirt on the Devil's Tower. Oh, yeah,
you're right. I was like, I just saw that recently. Where did I see that?
That was pretty cool. We didn't realize the day we went out there that I was actually the Devil's Tower run the day of it. So, yeah, there was a lot of people out there, but it is pretty dang cool to see.
Yeah, see, like I mentioned, I don't like crowds. So, I want to go to all these places when there's not an event.
Well, definitely, if you want to do that, well... Riding the Black Hills is absolutely awesome, but
I've heard that. Yeah.
June is, I mean, there's still going to be some bikes, but it's nothing like rally time.
Right.
And there's some absolutely awesome runs. Well, I mean, the plaque back there, Iron Mountain Road, is great. There's one that I got introduced to this year that a few other people know about. It's called Riding Nemo Canyon.
Okay.
Which is a back way from Rapid City down to Sturgis. And it is, that is an amazing run. It's just beautiful country up there.
Yeah.
It's one Amy and I would love to go back to for about 5 days and just do more touring and sightseeing.
Can we just say that our country is beautiful?
It is.
You know, but I have to say that when I went through like parts of Nevada and stuff, there were so many straight roads that I was just like, ugh, can I have a curve? Can I have a turn?
It's funny, if you take the western part of the United States, I haven't been in Nevada or Arizona, but I've done everything else around it.
Well, there's your list right there. Yeah. You check.
The ones in the middle, somehow I missed those, but I've been able to hit the other ones.
Yeah, I definitely want to go do the Keys. I want to ride the whole East Coast. I lived on the East Coast for a while, so I want to, you know, do all that. Yeah. I mean, can I just live on my bike? That's what I want to do.
Take a year off on hiatus and just go do the vagabond style.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Deal.
It'd be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I got the trailer, so, you know, just pack it up.
Oh, that's funny.
But no, yeah, motorcycling has just been a great adventure. But, you know, with this, it's because of motorcycling, it's opened this door and I've been able to make some amazing friends and keep doing this because it's a lot of fun and it's pretty freaking cool.
It is cool. You know, when I got my bike, I was always looking for other females to ride with, and I got on Instagram, and that's where I have connected with 90% of my motorcycle community. You know, I hooked up with, you know, the Litas. That's been great. I've hooked up with all of the female, you know, motorcycle campouts, like the Dream Roll and Babes Ride Out. That was one of the reasons I went to Joshua Tree, was just because Babes, you know, that's where they held it for the first few years, you know, and then they moved it to the different location. And now they have multiple Babes Ride Outs. They have East Coast, they have West Coast, they have, you know, it's not just one yearly event. Now it's broken up into different sections and different ones. But you know, there's so much different riding styles. That's what I like about going to these female campouts, is because women from sport bikes to enduros to dirt bikes to, you see everything. You know, it's not Harley saturated. It's not, you know, one brand. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's everybody's riding something, and it's great.
It's the entire community coming together.
It is. And like you said, you know, in my podcast, is how women are really starting to overtake everybody.
Which is, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, because it wasn't always like that.
No.
You know, so it's great. It's great to just empower each other and be supportive. And, you know, it's great to just get together and shoot the shit with a bunch of other female riders. You know, and change, you know, and swapping stories and experiences. And because, you know, we do from a female perspective is way different than a male perspective when it comes to events, like what we pack, how we ride, all of it. So yeah, that's great.
And everybody gets to share an experience that, and understand what so many people enjoy about it. And
yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that some people are just born to be bikers and some are not. Some try. Some like, hey, that's a great idea. And they get a bike and they get all of the new gear and then they can't ride worth shit. or they don't have the mentality. They just don't have the mentality, you know, they're, you know, I don't know. I'm like, this is not for you. You tried it, you failed, go away. You're too scary to ride with. Like, I don't want to ride with you. You scare me. This isn't going to get any better. You can't drive well. Why did you think you could ride a bike?
I've seen that. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, no, but yeah.
Yeah. For those enjoy it, man, get out and ride and just experience it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing way to travel.
Yeah. But if it's not your thing, please don't do it.
Yeah. Stay in your comfort zone.
It's kind of like those people, if you don't like the snow, don't drive in it.
Yeah. You don't like that Facebook post? Keep scrolling.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, shit, this has been fun.
This has been fun. Well, we actually been doing this for like an hour and a half because we did 30 minutes for me. Now we've done an hour for you, you know? So we've been doing, podcasts for an hour and a half here. We're running out of things to talk about.
I know we had some great stuff on yours, but no, it's been a lot of fun. I'm glad we finally, you know, we're able to get this one down and do it. It's because it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I know we've chatted online for quite a while.
Yeah. Well, since, you know, 2020,
yeah,
you know, when Jenny first did her podcast with you and, yeah. And just watching you grow and, you know, you've done phenomenal.
I can remember when you messaged, "Hey coach, tag me. I'm ready to come in. I want to play the game too."
I did.
But no, it's been, this has been a lot of fun. And thank you for bringing up, you know, you brought up a ton of equipment and, you know, help really make this one come together and, you know, your mics, you got your Rodecaster going and no, this is an awesome joint effort and
we're going to have to do this again. This is going to have to we're going to have to do this again for sure.
We do it like every 6 months.
Yeah.
Get on a 6 month rotation.
Like after the each bike season, like do every, you know, like at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, you know, like, oh, hey, do kind of like a year recap type thing. Like, oh, what did you do? What did I do? And
hey, that's actually a really cool idea.
Yeah. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we should.
All right. You heard it here. He's going to do this. This is what he's going to do.
The end of the season review. End of the year. We'll figure out some splashy name for it.
Well, yeah, we should. Definitely. And just so you know, I've been sitting on this Wild Ass for like an hour and a half. This is pretty good. Squishy, squishy, squishy.
Wild-ass.com.
That's right.
Got to get that dash. You might see stuff you don't want to see online. We're just putting that out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get it.
And use that code DWoods. You'll get free shipping. Plug, plug. it's been fun.
Yeah, this has been great. All right. Well, thank you for introducing me to your world here.
Well, I'll link your channel up in all the notes, and of course, this will come out Spotify. I'll have all the more links and all the streaming sites. But no, it's been great. I'm glad, you know, we've finally been able to link up do this, and it's been fun. I love the idea of the end of the season review, or however we want to title it. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, the recap.
Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, guys. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. This thanks for milepost 126.
Yes.
So we will see you all next Sunday. Probably back to the regular time, 5:00. Till then, guys, hey, have fun, ride safe, enjoy the open road, and we'll catch you in the crossroads.
Ciao.
Later.